Welcome to the Oklahoma State University Tactical Fitness and Nutrition Podcast with Drs. Jay Dawes and Jill Joyce. In this podcast, we'll be speaking with Lieutenant Annette Zapp. Annette is a 16-year veteran of the fire service. Currently, Annette holds the rank of lieutenant at a suburban Chicago Fire Protection District and operates Fire SQ Fitness, a coaching business dedicated to the physical and mental health and wellness of firefighters worldwide. All right, so today on the Oklahoma State Tactical Fitness and Nutrition Podcast, we're going to be here with Annette Zapp, and we're going to be talking about improving mental health through fitness. So, Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, and quick recap, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
I am a full-time firefighter. I hold the rank of lieutenant in a small suburban fire protection district. And then I also own a company called Fire SQ Fitness, which is dedicated to the health and wellness of, you guessed it, firefighters.
Excellent. So kind of going right into the core of the matter here. So what are some of the common mental health challenges that firefighters face and experience as a result of their jobs?
Wow, this is a big topic. And if you would have asked me about this even 5 years ago, I would have said, what? Mental health issues? I don't know what you're talking about. But unfortunately, 5 years ago, I was in the middle of a decade worth of, I guess you would call it depression. I was never sad. I was never suicidal. I was never drug addict, or I never had ideations of taking my life, but my depression manifested itself as anger. Mm-hmm. I was mad 24/7, 365. I was on that slow boil, you know how you cook rice, all the time. Mm-hmm. And just the tiniest thing would set me off and I would explode. And I had no idea why I was angry. I just knew I was angry. Mm-hmm. And luckily, about 3 years ago-ish, a speaker came to our department from the Illinois Firefighter Peer Support Network, and he told his story. And then everything all of a sudden made sense to me. The trauma that I saw in the fire service and the things that I had to do, those things aren't normal. Mm-hmm. A normal human should never see the things that firefighters see and deal with. And at the time I started the fire service, no one told me, probably because they didn't realize either, no one told me how this stuff would affect me, and no one told me how it would impact my life. And so in terms of the trauma that we face in the fire service, I would say that a great majority of our firefighters are suffering from some sort of depression, whether it be mild or major. And unfortunately, firefighter suicide is outpacing all other line of duty deaths, and it has for the last decade. And so I think that firefighter mental health is something that we need to really dig into.
Yeah, and I think that's, and that's really, really interesting, because a lot of times, the different types of mental health issues and depression and things of that nature, it doesn't always fit inside the box, right? So it can manifest in a whole lot of different ways. And, I think, what you said, the anger, I think there's a lot of people that have that don't necessarily perceive that there may be an issue with that. That's just the way it is, and the way that they, it's due to their circumstances and may not necessarily be anything related to them. And certainly that's not to say that the circumstances are always, positive by any means, but, again, how we choose to deal with that in a lot of cases can, not only, help our overall well-being, but also it can send you down that spiral of decline, right? Where, you're angry and you just get angrier and you don't really know how to jump off the merry-go-round. It just keeps going round and round and round.
And it just spirals up more and more and more anger. And Jay, what I like to kind of consider now is that, I used to think that firefighters and police officers and military personnel were hired from some sort of superhuman segment of the population.
Right.
But truly, they all come from the general population. And I think statistically, the general population has 20 to 25% chance of mental health challenges over their lifespan. So add that now to a job where you're seeing things that you shouldn't ever have to see, and you're sleep deprived, which we talked about previously, your nutrition probably isn't on point because you're making maybe poor decisions and comforting yourself with food, and your fitness may not be on point because you just have so many things going on in your life, and that all added together is a recipe for disaster. I mentioned that I had probably a decade of some level of depression / anger. And I think the thing that saved me during that decade was I was always committed to my sleep. I was always committed to my nutrition, and I was always committed to my fitness. So I was filling up those buckets of, we can call it resiliency, I guess. Mm-hmm. And even though those buckets were getting drained by my job, at least the buckets were getting refilled. I think, unfortunately, many of our firefighters are not refilling their buckets in any fashion.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, so it is a mentally, emotionally, and physically demanding job. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about the tactical athlete, you know, component to all this, and how, you know, firefighters are required to do things that, you know, a lot of elite level athletes are, you know, trained to do from a physical standpoint. But the reality is they don't have the resources available that most professional athletes have. And, you know, they don't have the, you know, resources to take care of themselves and to do that. You know, I guess looking at those things, where do you start? Because, I mean, obviously we need people to do this job. And you know, like, as you said before, people in the fire service see some terrible things and they have to learn how to live with that, really. So before we run people out of the fire service with this conversation, what are things that they can control? Because I think that's the thing. There's so many things about that lifestyle that you don't have control over. What are the things that you can really, have a say in?
Well, I love that question. First off, because I am known as the person that tries to run people out of the fire service. People come to me, a young man just recently approached me maybe 3-4 months ago. He's like, I'm really interested in a career in the fire service. I want to talk to you about it. And the first thing I told him was about the sleep deprivation, about missing holidays with your family, about, yeah, the time off is great, but, you know, I told him all the bad parts of it. Unfortunately, I didn't do a very good job convincing him out of it. But I think just the fact of someone telling you prior to commencing the job about the bad things that can and will happen are helpful. I'm super, super honored right now. We have a newer chief. I wish I could remember how many years he's been chief. He was our deputy chief for a few years. He came up through the ranks, so now he's our chief. I want to say 4 years. But he is a fitness guy. I've known him to be a fitness guy from even before I started in the fire service. And he's very, very supportive of fitness, but he's become very supportive of the peer support aspect of things. And so he allows me, when we hire a crop of new firefighters, whether it's one guy or whether it's 10 guys, he allows me to go in and talk to them on their first day and talk to them about the things that they're going to face, talk to them about sleep, talk to them about nutrition, and hopefully get them set up for success.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of people kind of supporting you, especially within the fire service, I'm going to throw you an off the cuff question. I was a military spouse for 9 years. And so spouses or friends or even peers, if you sense that, your loved one or friend in the fire service is struggling, how can we best support that person?
You have just hit the nail on the head of what is super important. And I hope I can remember everything I want to say about that. First thing, this weekend on Saturday, I'm speaking at a local fire department, not to the firefighters, but to the spouses. And I'm speaking to them about what they might encounter in terms of being married to a firefighter and how they can best support their spouses.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's Plainfield Fire Protection District. They're amazing. They do amazing stuff. But one of the things I'm going to talk to them about is they have to remember that their, I'm going to say husband because it's all husbands in this case.
Yeah.
Their husbands carry a tremendous burden with them, a tremendous responsibility when they go to work every day. And so when they come home, if the spouse can help take some of that burden off of them, so maybe buffer that a little bit in terms of, yes, I know that you've been home with the infant for 24 hours. I know you want nothing more than to hand that infant off, but can I just get a little bit of buffer time? Mm-hmm. You know, things like that. Also helping support them in, you know, getting their sleep, getting their nutrition, not putting that responsibility on the spouse, but just creating a shared responsibility is super helpful. And unfortunately, I forgot the other thing that I was going to say that was going to be so helpful. Sorry about that.
Well, honestly, we could keep going on this one too, because I think Jill, that was a question that I had as well. And okay. I think that's awesome. So what about people who are in these spaces, career-wise, don't always tend to be the most welcoming to change. You know, we don't like change, and we don't like things that don't change sometimes. So looking at that, like, obstinance with that, I mean, if, you know, a spouse is recognizing these, you know, issues with somebody, what's the best way to approach that? Because, you know, like you said before, like, especially if somebody's got that anger built up, I mean, the easiest thing to do is just explode when you think you're getting called on the carpet on something, or, you know, if somebody's pointing the finger at you. I mean, what are some ways to deliver that information in a way that's going to be helpful and not detrimental?
I know, at least in Illinois, and I think that this is catching on nationwide, because I believe I saw that we were just in Alabama yesterday. In Illinois, we have a peer support network that was created to do just what it says, support our peers. So I'm an Illinois firefighter peer support member. And as a society, I guess I'll call it, people can reach out to us anonymously and get help. And this can include spouses too. So I would suggest seeing if something like that is available in your area, reaching out and starting to talk with someone. Now, when you think about it, if you would say to your spouse, honey, I'm sensing that, you know, things are a little bit different with you. I'm wondering if you might be willing to talk to a peer, not talk to a psychologist, not talk to a counselor, talk to a peer about what you might be going through. I think sometimes that can be a lot more effective. And at least in our system, it's all anonymous. So I'll receive an email that'll say, hey, we have a 40-year-old male in the Oak Park area who is struggling with substance abuse, and he's afraid he's going to get fired. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone who has similar experiences and will be able to talk to him? Well, I'm automatically not eligible because I'm a female. But they try to match him with someone who's sort of age-adjusted, experience-adjusted, and in the area that can sort of get him going in the right direction. And I think that peer support is crucial.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so so this is my ignorance on the topic. So I'm assuming that's not necessarily set up everywhere.
So I think Illinois was actually the very first state to have it. I know North Carolina has it now. Pretty sure California and now Alabama. There may be other states. I know it's also available in South Dakota because a few people from South Dakota attended the Illinois peer support, and Wisconsin too, a few people from Wisconsin. So I think our network is probably stronger than the other states, but it's super powerful.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Unfortunately, and Jill, you may know this, unfortunately, when someone from police, fire, or the military reaches out to a professional, oftentimes that professional is ill-equipped to even deal with what is being unpacked. And so there are actually stories where a firefighter has called EAP, mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called, EAP, and been matched with a counselor, say a pediatric counselor or something like that. Of course, that's not going to be a good match. So the firefighter starts unpacking the baggage and ends up comforting the counselor because they're traumatizing the counselor. This is not a good experience for anyone. And then the firefighter leaves and says, well, this doesn't work. This is stupid and I'm not going. So what we've done in Illinois is we've created a list of vetted professionals who are police and fire friendly. And so they understand the profession. They understand the trauma and they are more able to serve.
Can I ask if a state doesn't have the peer support group or doesn't have, I love the list of kind of like vetted providers, how do you recommend a department or a state get involved with either of those things?
I would say I would actually reach out to the Illinois Firefighter Peer Support Network and just talk to Tom Howard is our executive. He's the leader of it right now. And I'll give you all that information later so you can put it in the show notes. But Tom seems to be the one that can get things done and going in other states.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, kind of as you said before, that's certainly no discrediting any type of professional as far as like with psychologists and in those areas, but it really is about the right fit. I mean, it's similar to strength conditioning. There's certain populations that I'm going to be more equipped to deal with than others. And it's really just making sure that everybody's in a good relationship that's going to work and on both sides of it.
Well, and here's what we've done for years. We've come back to the firehouse after a bad call, and we've kind of dealt with it with dark humor. So we make awful jokes about it. And here's the problem. Dark humor doesn't really help anyone. And if someone is really struggling, it makes them that much less likely to reach out to someone at that table later and say, I'm not okay. The beautiful thing about the peer support is that if I reached out today, I'm going to get someone approximately my age, probably an officer, someone who's been through similar life experiences who can sit down with me and say, yep, you've been through some stuff.
Yeah.
No wonder you're not feeling good about it, you know, and just, we can talk through it. And it's very likely that I might still need to elevate to the counseling level, but at least that's somewhere to start. And it's right. Anonymous.
Well, and I think that's probably one of the other aspects of that too. And it's going to sound cheesy coming out, probably the way I'm going to say it, but it's okay to not be okay.
Oh my gosh. That's our motto.
Yeah.
I was thinking that earlier too, so don't worry.
You guys are brilliant. Yeah, that's actually almost every post on Facebook that you'll see from Illinois Firefighter Peer Support. It'll say it's okay to not be okay.
Right. And then, and honestly, then I'm going to go completely diametrically opposed to that. Sometimes it's okay to be okay. So, I mean, I think that's the thing is you don't know how you're going to respond to that situation. And guys, you know, again, I'm not in that space. And, you know, the phrase that I always use is just because you're standing in the garage does not make you a car. But there are certain things about doing the job. People that are in that space do their job, and they're better at dealing with some of those situations than other people are. But again, how you respond to a given situation is just how you respond. It just is. It's not necessarily good or bad. It just is, and you shouldn't necessarily be ashamed or upset or afraid to get help for that. But it's tough because especially when you're dealing with alpha personalities, you know, both male and female, that's a hard thing to do is ask for that help.
And the thing that I always tell people is that trauma, especially I tell the new guys this, trauma looks different for different people. Something to me that would not affect me at all might send one of my coworkers into a tailspin.
Right. And there's not anything necessarily wrong with you if it doesn't. So I think that's the other thing over time that I've seen is a lot of times, you know, if you don't have some type of profound trauma, some people look at you like, well, what's wrong with you? Why don't you? And, you know, it's just, again, it's a different response for different people. So that's the great thing. And the bad thing is, unfortunately, we're all unique. So, you know, how you deal with it's how you deal with it. And I think the bigger thing is that you get the help that you need to make sure that you get, you know, on the track that you need to be on.
Well, and I tell those new people or those people considering the job, you know, I think that you should go find someone to talk to now and just set up a standing appointment for your little checkup from the neck up periodically. And I think that that's a pretty good thing to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like imagine preventative type strategies being the way to go versus weird, right?
Well, and the whole problem is that the fire service, what do? We put out fires. We react. Never proactive. Never.
That is an awesome analogy. So, hey, before we wrap up, can you tell everybody about your legislative task force that you're on now?
Oh my gosh, I'm two super, super exciting things happened in November when I was with Jay at NSCA. First of all, I was super honored to be asked to do this review or this revamp of the TSAC practitioner course. So that was like super exciting thing number one. But super exciting thing number two, Brent Alvar called me a nerd, which is, I mean, my life is complete. Yeah. But
and we will have Brent on some shows and people will understand why that's a compliment too.
I know. He called me a nerd. Anyway, so while I was there, I got a text. It was a little bit cryptic. It was from Matt Olson, who was the person that started the Illinois Firefighter Peer Support Network. And it said, I have the ability to appoint two people to a legislative task force on first responder suicide prevention. And so I responded like, how exciting, who are you gonna nominate? And he actually was asking me if I would be one of those people. So I am one of the people. And then Tom Howard, the current, the person that is in charge of the Peer Support Network right now, along with a few police officers, and again, this legislative task force, we're all going to be convening and working on trying to alleviate this issue with first responder suicide. So I'm super honored and super, super excited.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Yeah, and honestly, like what we would love is, you know, as things progress with our programs that we have and our collaborations, we'd love to have you back on to talk more about that, and as well to share any kind of information that may be useful to the populations that we're trying to serve.
Well, I'm thinking when we publish the research results from when Jill brings the fruit to Station 55, that would be a
right
time to start.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect. So, Annette, thank you so much for all your time. It's been so great to get to talk to you, and it's always a pleasure. And like again, hopefully you'll come hang out with us again soon.
I really, really appreciate the opportunity, and you guys are great.
Thanks again for listening to the Oklahoma State University Tactical Fitness and Nutrition Podcast. For more information on improving health, fitness, and performance for first responders, just follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We look forward to you joining us again.